Hey Jason, I've been writing a long piece to tell you so many things about how much I love you and how much I miss you and how much I wish I could be with you right now. And I finally realized, okay, I should make an audio. This is the third audio I've made. Part of it is 'cause I start crying. You know me, I'm not a good crier. But I just never dreamed that I never envisioned a world where I would be alive on this planet without you. I just can't imagine it. And at the same time, I know we're allies forever, and I will never be without you because your spirit is so huge. Wherever you pass to, whatever dimensions you're in, we're all going to be able to feel you, probably communicate with you wherever you are. You're bigger than life. I can't wait to see what resurrection is next for you if you do decide to leave. I just want you to know whatever you decide, come or go, I absolutely respect your opinion. I always respect your opinion. I always respect your decisions. So you do the right thing for you. One of my favorite poets, says Richard Eberhardt, "If I could only live at the pitch that is Nirvana's, when everything is as it was in my childhood, violent, vivid, and of infinite possibility." And that's what I think of whenever I think of you. I think of infinite possibility because you are the kind of people who you're a man who invents worlds, who invents families, who invents dreams, and with your strength, all things are possible. You're so courageous. You infuse reality into official reality. You could even find Mr. Global if anybody could. But let me first talk a little bit about our history because I want to tell you about how I came to know you. I'll never forget being at the Secret Space Program in 2014, and suddenly there you were, larger than life, of course. And this huge aura, just like a light bulb. You kind of lit up the room. And I thought, who is that guy? I want to meet that guy. And of course, we did meet. And then after the conference, you weren't flying out that afternoon or an evening. So I invited you to come with Kort and Barry Skinner to see Interstellar. And that was the beginning of our space adventure. And so you decided that I should see Uhuru. And of course, I was struggling and operating on fumes. But you said, okay, well, I'll pay for you to come to Australia, which was my dream trip. So I came to Sydney and to go to Uhuru. But there were all sorts of trouble in the United States. And my flight got canceled 5 days in a row, day after day. I finally moved into a motel at the airport because I just was so furious about going back and forth, and I wanted to be there to just grab whatever flight I could get. And each time you had to move back the reservations, oh my God, it was incredible. And I flew in and we turned around and just flew right out to Uluru. There was no time. And what a life-changing trip it was. I remember because I got in and I had to do a Soleri report that night. It was so unbelievable. I think I didn't sleep for like 36 hours straight in a row. Anyway, but we went to Uluru and then we went out to Cave Hill and I saw Attila for the first time. Oh my God. And then we came back and we sat all afternoon talking, talking, talking at the swimming pool because my paradigms were just shifting so much. Of course, you were way ahead of me because you and George had been hanging out and working out, sort of what the planetary and the global and the cosmic governance system was anyway. And so then we went to Sydney and it was, I don't know if you remember this, it was Vivid Sydney. And oh, so beautiful. I have so many pictures of Vivid Sydney. And then I had wanted you to get us tickets for the TED Talks, which you did, and it was so terrible. And what a hoot you were about it. You were such a great sport. And they wanted to feed us insects for lunch. I'll never forget it. So you dragged us off to the Opera House restaurant down, outside. And we had steaks while everybody ate insects, woke insects at the TED Talks. And you know, I knew you had a great sense of humor before, but that was funny because to this day, your jokes about insects are really funny. And it was either that, because I came back the next year in 2016. It was either that trip or the one in 2016 where I met, we had lunch with the head of ABC Bullion. That was fascinating. Talked a lot about the precious metals markets, and then I got their economist Jordan on the Solari report. It was what an amazing trip that was. And anyway, so 2006 I came back, but first you came to the Architects in the New Paradigm conference, and that was when you decided to help me raise money for Joel Garbon's Protocols project, and it was great. You stood up in that audience. And it was the best, it was the single best elevator speech I've ever given. Now, I knew you were a killer entrepreneur because when I came in 2015, you wanted me to write the introduction for your book, Making Waves, which, by the way, is such a great book and such a great book to give to the Solari Report subscribers about how you really start great businesses. P.S. And anyway, so you stood up and you did this elevator pitch. So I knew because I had so insisted on doing complete due diligence, which kind of shocked you because I was pretty tough and pretty invasive. But of course, you passed it all with absolutely flying colors. And I did write a great introduction because it was a great book. And you know, I still recommend it to everybody at Solari to this day, and we'll keep doing it. It's just it's a You know, it's a perfect story of how to start a great business because you are a killer entrepreneur. Anyway, but you stood up and you gave this elevator pitch for Joel, and I was like, wow, that's my ally, Jason. It was so funny because we were struggling with Robert and his partner because they were, you know, Yaron was off dealing with some shysters, and we couldn't get him to see sense. Because you are the kind of guy who understands that the what matters is that you do business with people of integrity, and there's no point in, you know, trying to deal with the others. Anyway, I came back to Sydney for a longer time in 2017. By that time, you'd left Whale Beach and you were living over in Manly. And we used to always go over to the Fish Cafe, which I absolutely loved. And we had had a luncheon in 2016 at the Pantry in Manly Beach, but then in 2017 we did one at the Fish Cafe, and that was the moment when we met the incredible and amazing Charles Gowing. One of the things I associate with you is you turning me on to or connecting me with some of the best people in the world. So Charles is one, Ricardo's another. There's so many great people, George, that you've introduced me to, your family. You know, you connect great people with great people, and it's one of the reasons we all love you, because you don't just get Jason, you get like the whole syndicate of fabulous people, because so many fabulous people are attracted to you and inspired by you, and so you just it's like plugging into a syndicate. Anyway, so we had a fabulous lunch at the Fish Cafe. And I'll never forget, because you know, you're always on the hunt for the greatest restaurants. And one of the reasons I love hanging out with Jason is you're always going to these fabulous restaurants with the greatest fresh food, and of course, for me, the greatest coffee. But the chefs and the waiters at Fish Cafe just loved you because you were their idea of that extraordinary client who just demands absolute excellence and then appreciates, you know, when they achieve it. And so they'd be really proud. Oh, we got a 10 from Jason today. It was always fun to watch the way you inspired people to really be their best. We did a lot of recordings on the Solari Report in 2017. I don't know if you remember them, but it was, you know, it was one of those years and ever since when everybody's always constantly bugging me, what does Jason think? What does Jason think? What does Jason think? And I kept promising them, well, Jason's going to start a business, and you know, I'll tell you what he thinks after he does that. And anyway, so we ended up, I came back to 2018 because you wonderful man, agreed to sponsor and finance our doing two trips for the Solari Report subscribers in Uluru. And what a life-changing experience that was. It was just, I could talk forever. It was the trip of a lifetime. We had two wonderful groups. Before the first group, Ulrich Kroniger and Douglas Wyatt came early, and you took us to the Australian Symphony at the Opera House. Oh my God, it was so beautiful because you had musicians from all over the world coming to play with the symphony. It was a homecoming thing they do. And then we went to the football, and it's always fabulous. That was my second Australian football game. It's always fabulous to go to the football games with you because you're such a man's man. And so you and Douglas had a great time at the football, and it was just really fun to be with you. It was incredible. And then Charles, we had at Uluru the Anything Goes breakfast. Those were amazing. And I know Charles sent you a note about that. We had great, fabulous discussions. But the best thing about that trip, the best thing was, of course, you rented a helicopter for gobs of money and flew me to the top of Attila, which, you know, it was the most spectacular trip of a lifetime. I will never forget it. I cannot tell you how much it meant to me. And how much, again, it just, being on the top of Attila and being inside that field, it just shifted so many of my paradigms. It just, you could see infinity. It was amazing. And as were some of the conversations with the Aborigine people out at Cave Hill on that trip. It was just an amazing trip. The thing, I don't know, there's so many stories, but the discussions that we would have in those groups were amazing. And everyone's favorite discussion was always your telling what you had learned and what you knew about EMF radiation and health. And, you know, it was part of the problem that I've had over the last year, because everybody wants to know what Jason thinks. And I don't think there's a more trusted source that I've ever discovered or in the Soleri Report. People absolutely trust you because they trust the highest ethics and intention and the highest competency. One of the great things on that trip, speaking of competition, finding the best restaurants, was Douglas Wyatt was sure that he had the best oyster in the world. And you were like, no, man, you don't even know. And we took him out to Koji Beach and you got him that huge pile of oysters. And the first one he put in his mouth, his eyes got as big as silver dollars. And he was like, you could see his mind was blown. And he was looking at you like, okay, you're the master. You know much better oysters than I do. It was really funny. And you just couldn't stop laughing. We both couldn't stop laughing. It was an amazing moment. And we, Douglas's wife had lived in Australia at one point, and so we drove around to kind of FaceTime her in to have, you know, great memories of being with that trip with Douglas. It was so sweet. Anyway, so 2019, you came back to the United States, and I had been trying to talk you out of doing a business because I just knew, you know, doing business retail, particularly in the United States, is not what it used to be. Anyway, so you came to the United States, and you came to Hickory Valley, and then we went to Graceland. Graceland, unfortunately, had been corporatized, so it wasn't quite what it was, but I'll never forget trying to speed to get there on time. And I got a speeding ticket, and the police said, what's your excuse? The trooper said, what's your excuse? And I said, oh, well, I have a friend from Australia, and we're going to Graceland. And he was like, well, then it's okay. It was so funny. And then I tried to get Harry Blazer to come over to meet you, and Harry came over and was a complete, you know what, ugh, God, for which I apologize to you for wasting your time with that trip. You wanted to go to Romania on a business trip to see the water guys, and I was going to Sofia, so in Bulgaria for the Wagner, and then I got you to come and join me for the Wagner, and oh my God, I was sick as a dog because I got bitten by a dog right before you got there, and it made me pretty sick. And then we went to see the Wagner, and it was the absolute worst opera I've ever seen in my life. He had a great sense of humor about it. And then we went to Romania, and I'll never forget watching the World Cup on this huge screen at the swimming pool, and all of, you know, everybody was going crazy because they were, all the Eastern Europeans were hoping that Croatia would win, but unfortunately they didn't. But it was very, very interesting to watch. Anyway, and then you go to Munich and hook up with Ricardo, and that's how I got to meet Ricardo, who I'm working with now on Solaria Investment Advisory Services, and he reminds me so much of you. It's great. Anyway, so we always talk about you and think about you and pray about you and miss you. Anyway, it was in 2019 you did the Staying Healthy in a Wireless World for the Solaria Report. And of course, everybody's, what does Jason think? What does Jason think? And I kept saying, wait till Jason, you know, does this or that. And, you know, but I'm still tormented by it. Anyway, so we've had many, many adventures. And I was expecting to have many, many more. Even when these silly lockdowns came, I figured, okay, well, they'll probably be like this for, you know, a couple years, and then we go back to having our adventures. And I just want you to know, you love to build, and I love to build things with you. I love to get your advice, because I don't like working alone, but it's hard for me to work with people I don't respect. And you are a class A, world-class entrepreneur and business person, but somebody who also knows the real deal. And so, you know, scheming and strategizing with you, it never occurred to me that I wouldn't have you to help me figure out how to build and build Solaria into something that could endure many, many years beyond my participation. You know, your strong, big self would be there to sort of help with the transition in whatever role you were willing to do. And part is, you're such a risk manager. You're such a tough guy, but you have such a big heart that, you know, there's no mean spirit there. And so you can be a really tough guy, and you can herd the crowd into the corner if that's where they need to be, and they will take it because they can feel that big heart, and because you listen. You listen. You don't, there's no hubris there. You know, you have a lot of confidence. You know, but that confidence is based in real grounded experience and ability. And it's also based in traveling the world. You've known many different kinds of people. You've been to many different places. You are, you know, you are a man of many multi-worlds and cultures, but wherever you go, you're connected to the divine. So in one sense, it's always one culture because you are, you know, you're just plugged in at that level. You've got angels wherever you go. You know, I could see it in Uluru, how the divine just wants to play with you. So you have this access to other dimensions. And that's why I think if you decide to leave now, I'm expecting, not only am I expecting the resurrection, but I'm expecting some communications from wherever you are, some intelligence on what you're learning about the next dimension. I told you have an incredible sense of humor. There is nothing more fun than listening. There is no bad mood that cannot be solved by listening to Jason Bauden talk about climate change and eating insects. The climate change job. And it's because you understand, your understanding of the economy is so profound from personal experience, but also reading. So you understand energy, you understand real estate, you understand all of these different things. You're really a master of many, many different worlds. You love football. I told you that. There's nothing more fun than a great, the only thing more fun than a great football game is watching you have a blast at a great football game. There's the beach. Oh my God. Going down to the beach at 7 o'clock in the morning so you could jump in and swim and sit at that beautiful cafe in Manly. I forget what the name is. And we would just sit and have coffee and people would come and we would talk. And oh my God, what a way to start the day. So productive. So wonderful. We took Douglas and Ulrich there for dinner. I'll never forget it. And swimming with the dolphins, swimming with the whales. I associate your energy so much with whales. I decided this week to do a movie, a documentary about whales, because they just remind me of you so much. It's just, I don't know, you have that whale energy. It's part of that unbelievably big, powerful spirit. And they're so intelligent. You have that kind of whale intelligence, which is remarkable. The sunrise is, of course, in Sydney. Nice cars. Now, this is something to be respected. A man who has great cars and fast cars appreciates it, not to mention nice bachelor pads. So it's always fun hanging out with you because you got great cars, great pads, great restaurants. None of that sitting in the woods and eating beans and waiting for the end of the world. I would always quote to you the old quote from, I think it was Charles Schwab who said, don't worry about the end of the world. It's already tomorrow in Australia. And that's wherever you were was already tomorrow. You were on the hunt for the latest technology, the latest news, the latest things. And so I always loved either talking to you or recording you when you'd come out of those crazy Peter, what's his name, conferences with all the latest gadgets and toys and how they're going to take technology and kill us all, which certainly describes the last year. Anyway, but if there was one thing that defines you, it's your love of your family. You love your friends and you love your colleagues, but you loved building JBS and you loved all the people that you helped build that or helped you build that. But more than anything, you loved your family. I'll never forget having lunch with you and Karina and the love between you and the understanding and the connection. It was amazing to watch. And it reminded me of all your stories of building your environmental skills in business to help save and protect your mother. And so there was nothing, there was nothing you wouldn't do for your family, for Trina and your daughter. You just love them all. I'll never forget seeing you telling me about the apartments you were trying to get for Trina. You wanted her to have such a beautiful, happy place. And I was just thinking, there he is again. There's that big guy trying to make sure that everybody's in a beautiful place, everybody's safe, everybody's taken care of. That's why, you are the Scottish Knight. You are the big Scottish Knight that rides into town and saves everybody. I used to laugh at that image until I met you and I realized, oh, yeah, that's not just a myth, it exists. I'll never forget you telling me about before I came to Uluru the first time. How I would never understand the Milky Way or space or the stars until I could see the stars in the southern sky. And then I came, and night after night, and the first trip to Uluru, and then the two trips we did with the Salary Report subscribers, we would sit out under the stars. Some of them would be the nights under the stars, and we would look at the Milky Way. And I'll never forget the guy giving the speech during one of the dinners under the stars, where he explained that the Aborigines believe that the stars are the campfires of their ancestors who are waiting, they're keeping the fire burning and waiting to greet us when we come to the other side. So if you do leave now, if you do leave this year, if you do leave in this time, keep those stars, keep those fires lit for us because we all want to be with Jason, whichever side he is. I'll never forget, I loved Aaron Rousseau, who was so much like you in terms of being lion-hearted. You two would have absolutely loved each other. That would have been some great conspiring. That would have been some businesses or movies certainly would have gotten formed if you two had met. But when Aaron died, oh, a long time ago, but I remember when he was dying, I went to see him in the hospital because we'd had a prayer group and we had been praying for him as we've been praying for you. And what I was told, what the group was told as we prayed, was that God just loved this guy and loved his lion-heartedness and loved how big and strong and powerful his heart was. And he was worried that Aaron would so never quit that it would break his heart, and he couldn't afford to let that happen, so he's going to bring him home this time so he could bring him back more lion-hearted than ever. And sometimes I remember that as I hear the reports that you're struggling, and I think, you know, I'm so glad that Jason is not fully available to watch what's going on now in the world, because I worry that it would break his heart. And I wonder if part of this is to protect you so that when you return more powerful than ever, your heart will not be broken. And when you help and support us from the other dimensions, your heart will not be broken, because your heart is one of the great, great gems of the universe. And we can't afford to be without it ever, whether in this world or the next. So Jason, keep those campfires burning for us. If you join the angels, they will be laughing and having a better time. And whatever happens, we are allies for eternity. And I will see you in this world or next. I love you, and this is for eternity. You're the best, Jason.